Ini bisa.
The second scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen.
Here ends the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate it. For those of you who have been following along, I've been doing a series on making peace, and we started out with making peace with ourselves, then we went to making peace with our neighbors, then we went to the one everybody loves, making peace with our enemies, and this morning I wanted to talk about making peace with God, which is kind of interesting because you know what? There's a prerequisite to that, and that is that God has made peace with us. But that's next week. I'm taking it a little bit out of order for a purpose and a reason, because I think God making peace with us is something that's getting really close here with Easter coming up. But I wanted to talk this morning about making peace with God, because you see, even though He's made peace with us, we have a problem sometimes in accepting that peace that He offers. You know, in Colossians 3:15 it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule." Well, what's that saying? He's offered the peace, hasn't he? He offered us the peace, but we've got to let it rule. You see, it's receiving that gift and recognizing that gift and letting the peace of Christ rule within our hearts. So we're going to talk about that a bit this morning. I wanted to talk a little bit about peace more from a kind of a horizontal or a worldly kind of understanding to start with, and then we're going to get right into the text in Colossians chapter 3. Peace. Some would say peace is the absence of war. I think it's a lot more than that. It's not merely the absence of war. Is it a state of mind or heart? Is it a state of rest? Is it a state of satisfaction or contentment? Is it reliant on outward circumstances? I'm asking these questions to get us to think about what we think of when we think of peace. Because in the Word of God, it says that we can have this peace in Philippians that passes all understanding. That tells me that the peace that we have in Christ is something the world doesn't understand. They don't understand that kind of peace. But we can understand that peace. You see, in John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you." You see, another verse about it's different. It's not the same kind of peace. The peace that you and I can have is a peace that's not reliant on the circumstances around us. I like that kind of peace. Because we have a lot of things going on in the world today that don't look peaceful. And you and I can have peace in spite of what's going on around us. So let's talk about what gets in the way of this peace. Like you see, I'm starting out a little bit on the horizontal level, and then I'm going to move into something deeper here. But what gets in the way of peace? Well, quite naturally, crisis, right? Crisis. War. Whether it's a spiritual war that's going on, or whether it's an actual war that's going on. Human circumstances that are going on in our lives. Maybe it's something we were dealing with last week, which is the enemy. We don't have peace because we're struggling with the enemy, and all these things get in the way of peace. I want peace. Why would you or I want to make peace with someone? Well, when there isn't any peace, there's tension, isn't there? When there isn't any peace, there's tension. And when there's tension in our life like that, it's not good. There's tension in our homes, there's tension at work, there might be tension in our relationship, there might be tension with God. It may or may not be an enemy that creates this tension. Sometimes we think that's why we don't have peace, it's always because of the enemy. No, sometimes we just don't have peace because there's things going on that don't settle with our soul. But peace will ultimately bring a benefit. Peace will bring a resolution. Peace is what your heart and my heart ultimately desire. But the question is, at what cost? Here's where the rubber meets the road, is at what cost do you and I want peace? And I think it's interesting that our peace didn't cost us. Our peace cost him. And the cost was huge. Think about that for a moment. The peace we can have, the peace that's being talked about in these verses I mentioned at the beginning, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that he gives us, not as the world gives, but the peace he gives us, this peace came at a cost. And it was Christ who paid that cost. He paid the price so you and I could have peace. Maybe that's why we don't always pursue peace with someone. And I'm going to get to this peace with God a little deeper in one more moment here. Why don't we pursue peace with someone? Sometimes it's pride or hurt, isn't it? Maybe we don't know where to start. The whole thing's all messed up. We look at our lives and the whole thing's all messed up. With people, oftentimes it's the fear of the rejection of the extended olive branch. If I offer peace, are they going to accept that peace? Or maybe for some of us, it's a denial that there's a war going on. I tell you, there is a war going on. There's a war going on in the world today. There's a war going on for our souls today. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, probably more than any other time in my life, I sense it in the world today. There is a real battle going on. And it's deeper than the stuff that we read about and see. I want to go to the text now. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. I want to go to verse 15, where I mentioned to you at the very beginning, this verse starts out with this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There's something really important about that verse. Let the peace of Christ, so it's not even our peace, right? Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Not the peace of Dave. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. So there's two things going on here. One, it's allowing that peace to rule. Number two, it isn't my peace. It's his peace. We can get it messed up, can't we, with both of those. One is whose peace it is. We get that messed up. We think it's my peace. No, it's not my peace. It's his peace. Let the peace of Christ, that's how you and I can live our life with chaos going all around us. But we still have peace in our heart. Why? It's not my peace. But it's not dependent on what I'm seeing out there going on. And I know there's a lot of people in the world that they're stressing about what's going on in the world today. I don't like a lot of what's going on in the world today either. I follow some news. I do. I follow what's going on. And I have my own opinions on what's going on and how it might be better. And you can always talk to me at some point. But I don't mention it in the pulpit because I know ultimately over all of that is, it's the peace of Christ. It's the peace of Christ that's in control here. Pursuing peace with God starts with first knowing that God is the one who brings peace. And so if we're pursuing peace with God, what are we doing? We're pursuing God. We're pursuing Him so that we can have that peace. The preface to all of that in pursuing peace with God is God extends His peace to us long before we seek peace with Him. He's already there. He's already offered it. He's already extended His hand. He said, I can give you peace. You've got to accept that peace. Let the peace of Christ rule. Stop being the enemy. Romans 5:10, while we were enemies, Christ died for us on the cross, Calvary. Matthew 6:24 says, you can't serve two masters, God and mammon, or self. You can't serve two masters. If you want God's peace, you have to pursue God. If you want God's peace, you have to pursue Christ. You won't get it any other way. To rule means, what's ruling? I'm not ruling. Read the verse again here. It says, let the peace of Christ rule. Oh, not me. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. So, to rule means what? To be the umpire, to be the director, to hold sway. That's what it says in the dictionary. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. Let the peace be the umpire. Let the peace be the director. Let the peace hold the sway. He is my peace. So He is the one who holds sway. He is the one who's the director of my life. He is the one who's the umpire of what's going on. Let Him have all of you that you know of. You know what? It is a journey. It is a journey. And I don't know that we always have perfect peace. Because so many times in our lives, we kind of move away from letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We put ourselves on that throne from time to time. But if we let Him have all of us that we know of, that peace can start to rule in our hearts. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. This is the next verse. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. If we want the peace of Christ, we need the Word of Christ. We need the Word of God to know that peace of Christ. That's how I knew I could have the peace of Christ, because I read it in God's Word, and He says I can have that peace that is His by knowing the Word. So if I want peace with Christ, I need to be in His Word to understand what that peace is all about, because it's not world peace. It's peace in my heart. In that verse, He says, we were called to peace. That's what He called us to be. We were called to peace. And He is. In Ephesians 2:14, it says, He is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. He, Christ, is our peace. So how do we make peace with God? Accept the One who is the Prince of Peace. And let Him rule in our hearts. Here's some indications that peace is not ruling in our hearts. Fear. You know, I know during a lot of what's been going on the last 2-3 years and going through COVID and stuff, sometimes we let fear take center stage. That's an indication that peace is not ruling in our hearts when we do that. Anger is an indication that peace is not ruling in our hearts. If you find yourself fearful or angry, we need to work on that. Because peace is not ruling in our hearts if those are there. Another one I could use here, I use this term, sloppy living. When you and I really aren't in tune with God and we want to do our own thing and we're living our lives sloppily, it's because I'm more enamored with me and I want to fulfill my own needs. And so I live my life the way I want to live my life. I call it sloppy living. Not living my life the way God wants me to live my life. And when I do that, peace is not ruling. When we don't have peace, we aren't invested in the kingdom. And when we don't have peace, there's usually a myriad of distractions in our life. We need to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to center it on Him. What, as we close, will allow the peace to rule in our hearts? I mentioned already the one here. Let the word dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I don't know any other way to do that except to say we need to be in the word. It's unfair for a congregation to think they can get enough from Sunday morning with a pastor. That's like getting a snack once a week. I eat more than that. You eat more than that? Honestly, if all we think we need is once a week in church on a Sunday morning with a half-decent sermon and some music and a few songs and some good vibes with some other people on Sunday morning, if that's all I need, that's not enough. So what I want to encourage you and me with, and perhaps challenge you with, is if we want to have the peace that God wants us to have, let the word dwell in you richly. And then it also says in verse 17 of that same text, something interesting here. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do for Him because He did for us. You'll find if you do for Him because He did for us, the peace of Christ starts to dwell more richly in our lives. It's never been about how much you know of the words on this page. It's always been about how you apply the words you know on this page with the life that you live. You hear what I'm saying? It's not just about quoting Scripture to people and letting them know how much you know. It's about knowing the Scripture that you know and realizing that this Scripture has an application in my life and how I live my life for others. That's the Word being living and active, as the Word of God says. I'd rather you know a little less of the Word of God, but know how that word applies in your life and changes you, than to know all the Scripture there is and do nothing with it. And I think God would agree with me. Do for Him because He did for you. That's gratitude, folks. That's what it is. And that gets down to the last little tidbit here. To do for Him because He did for me, I don't do for Him because I want brownie points in heaven. I don't do for Him because I think I haven't done enough and I need to gain some more because I got to make sure I get into heaven. How many times I've talked to people who think that heaven is based on, was I good enough? The answer I always give them is, no, you're not. But I don't stop with that. No, you're not. There's not a single person here that's even close to being worthy of getting into heaven. I'm sorry if I burst your bubble this morning, because I'm not either. It's because that huge gap was filled by Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's what we're celebrating Good Friday and Easter. That's what we're coming towards, is that recognition that the gift is so huge. I do for Him because He did for me. I am grateful. That's why I do. That's why you should do what you do. And you'll find the peace of Christ will be in your hearts. And you'll find that making peace with God is indeed something that's easy to do when it's already been thrown our way. So give Him glory. Give Him credit. Is peace a given once it's established? No, I don't think it is. I still think you and I, every day, have to get up in the morning and to recognize the peace that we have is dependent upon Him. And do that. Some days you're going to have tremendous peace. How many times I've sat with a loved one who's dying and see peace written all over them. Because at that point in their life, for many of them, they realize everything else doesn't even mean a thing. The only thing that matters now is my relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And I've seen people who've had that peace, even though they may not have lived their life in a way that was pristine, but they come to that recognition even at the end, just like the thief on the cross. Give him glory. Give him credit. So, folks, making peace with God. You see how we can do that. We need to be in His Word. We need to pursue peace with Him. He's already offered it to us. It's right there, ready. And we're going to talk about that more next week. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for Your peace that passes all understanding. Thank You. The peace that You leave us is not the peace that the world leaves, because the peace that the world gives is a peace that's very temporary. Yours is eternal. God, I pray that every single person here, if they don't know it now, would make peace with You, because You've already made peace with them. Help us, Lord, to reach out in these ways. It's a journey. Help us to reach out in these kinds of ways that bring peace to our hearts. Help us to feed on You and Your Word. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.